Welcome back.
This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. When Charles Darwin published On the Origin of Species in 1859, questions about the astonishing variation between living things focused on survival, procreation, and evading predators, not necessarily on nature's peculiar aesthetics, about the peacock's preference for a plumage of a particular hue, for example, or why individual mockingbirds are so choosy about which songs to imitate. David Rothenberg is professor of philosophy and music at the New Jersey Institute of Technology and the author of several books, including Why Birds Sing. His latest is Survival of the Beautiful, a contemplative book which asks why beauty exists in nature and why do biologists tend to say it doesn't matter. His examples of the beauty instinct come from nature, like the discovery of an extraordinary piece of artwork found while on a walkabout in Australia.
Well, I was wandering through the forest, you know, kind of in the wilderness in Queensland, in the Lamington National Park, and I came across a pile of blue plastic spoons in the middle of nowhere. And I said, like, what? Who would leave this sort of thing here? This is ridiculous. And then my guide, the ornithologist, Sid Curtis, he said, what are you talking about? That's what's left of the bower of a satin bower bird. He builds these structures and he decorates them with blue. He can use blue flowers, or if he can't find any blue flowers, blue plastic works just fine. And that was my first personal introduction to the artwork of bower birds. I'd heard about these birds, but it really doesn't make any sense if you see it. You know, if you see it in the middle of the woods and you say a bird has just built this, and then, you know, many people think, oh, this is his nest, and he has to have a blue decorated nest. And then you learn, like, no, it is not a nest. It's a sculpture the male bower bird builds to attract the attention of females who come check it out and assess whether they think it's any good.
It reminds me of the work of the contemporary artist Andy Goldsworthy, you know, who does
That's
these
right.
kind
Andy
of...
Goldsworthy clearly has learned from these bower birds. And, you know, David Attenborough asked him about this, and he very eloquently said, well, you know, I'm not a bird, but I certainly am aware of their work. It's like he's talking about some colleague, some other artist. I'm not sure I like his work, but I'm aware of it.
Well, we do, it's hard to, for listeners to maybe imagine this, so we do have a link to the Survival of the Beautiful website where you can see pictures of these just spectacular structures and birds, and there's actually a chart of the evolution of bower types. We have a link to that at wordofmouthradio.org. So this is all about attraction, David? This is something that Charles Darwin proposed was to delight the minds of potential mates. But how did these various bower birds not get noticed and killed with their extraordinary showiness?
Two interesting questions you bring up. These bower bird bowers appear in many biology textbooks, and you will learn that this is yet another example of evolution. Extreme lengths males will go to get the attention of females. And this is what explains this phenomenon. And then modern biology goes on to say that, a bower bird that makes the best bower has the best quality. This is the one you should mate with. He's the smartest. He's the strongest because he makes this thing. And that it once again showing an example of survival of the fittest, even in making these crazy artworks. There's just no limit to what males will do to attract the attention of females. But it's not what Charles Darwin thought this was about. You know, he had talked about survival of the fittest, how the most fit adaptations survive in nature. He was really vexed by things in nature that didn't seem to be especially useful or fit. Like, peacock's tail really makes me sick when I think about it, he wrote in a letter to a friend. Why? Because it doesn't seem very fit at all. It seems like a useless, crazy thing to have evolved that's excessive. And the bower bird's artwork is even more excessive. Like, why would such a thing evolve? How could birds sit for months in one place where predators could just pick him off and be doing this? It seems very unfit and rather stupid, actually.
So the question always being asked is, our scientific brain asks, how does it serve them? You're asking a different question.
Yeah, how does evolution produce such a beautiful world? Can we follow Darwin, who said aesthetics is a big part of evolution, the evolution of traits simply because females have evolved to like it? But this is a part of evolution that shows evolution is not just survival of the fittest, it's also survival of the interesting, survival of the beautiful. And that's why we get a world that is so interesting. It's not just a designed, functional, you know, perfectly constructed, efficient thing that you would make if you wanted to engineer the most practical working world of life. That's not what we have. We have essentially, if you wind back evolution a few million years, start it again, you're not going to get these same creatures at all.
Then going further down the road with that idea, the survival of the beautiful, what is your theory on why the beautiful did or do survive?
Because sometimes it's liked. Most birds are very tiny, efficient, invisible. They're kind of fast-moving creatures, for example. It very much evolved to fit their habitats, but often they have an aspect that also evolved simply because it's beautiful. You know, that's why you look at your average creature or a flower or plants as well. They have a mixture of practical things and aesthetic features, both. And that's something Darwin recognized well, where he said natural selection and sexual selection are separate forces. They work together.
Thinking about sexual selection, it often explains to us why animals desire, but says very little about what they desired. Do animals have a natural aesthetic sense, do you think?
Each species has evolved its own aesthetic sense. Like these bower birds have to build these bowers and decorate them with blue stuff, and they're born with that desire. They're born with that special aesthetic sense. How did it evolve over generations and generations of females kind of preferring this? Although we really don't know how something so weird could have evolved. I mean, it really is. That's how it's supposed to happen, but, you know, it's very hard to prove. We could study more. We could try and figure out why blue. Is there any reason why blue? This is a whole sort of tension that's discussed in the book. How arbitrary are the choices that have evolved through sexual selection? How much do they depend on some kind of basic forms and ways nature is put together? Like one reason that got me into this whole project was wondering why it was that you took the song of a humpback whale, this long 30-minute song that repeats up to 24 hours of singing. If you speed it up, it sounds a lot like a complex bird song, like a nightingale or a mockingbird.
We're talking with David Rothenberg, professor of philosophy and music at the New Jersey Institute of Technology and author of several books, including Survival of the Beautiful. I'm thinking of the human animal here, of course. This quest, this appreciation is implanted in humans as well, who wanted to tell their stories in cave paintings for early humans. Is it just that we, as aesthetic creatures, appreciate that sound, that the song of a whale or the song of a bird or the color of a nest?
Well, on the one hand, there's things we appreciate. On the other hand, is that the birds appreciate it. In a few bird species, you know, a song with the most notes or the loudest leads to more success in mating. And there's often a lot written by a scientist about those species. They tend to ignore the other species where it's very hard to pick a correlation, where it's harder to know, you know, what the female birds like, whether the song actually is sexually determined. Every species is an aesthetic world unto itself. And we know so little about them, especially the more complex ones. We have no idea why mockingbirds need to make a complicated song out of the sounds of other birds. Mm-hmm. However, nobody has studied the aesthetic of the mockingbird. Why not? You know, if you want to study the song of the mockingbird as a biology student, your advisors will say, don't do it. You know, we've never been able to conclude anything objectively and certain about what these birds are doing. They're too different from one another. And I would say, yeah, what you need is someone with musical training to look at it, a musicologist to look at how this is structured and think differently than just trying to count the number of syllables or measure how loud things are.
So where does this urge reside when you're talking about things that are more interesting or aesthetically driven or sort of searching for light on some level? Where does that reside within humans or animals?
Part of it is innate. Part of it is learned, depending on the species and how they get their ideas of things. And a lot of it is completely unknown.
Well, you seem very down on biologists, David.
No, I'm not supposed to be. I'm very up I'm up in the sense of knowing what I'm talking about necessarily, but biology is amazing. But on these kind of questions, it is sort of veered away from looking at them.
Well, why has biology not studied the beautiful?
They feel it's too subjective and human rather than an objective part of nature. And it's a minority of people like Professor Richard Prum at Yale who says, let's study the evolution of beauty. It's really important. We can figure out amazing things like what color a dinosaur was by studying the evolution of beauty. By just saying everything's adaptation, we'll figure out how a dinosaur was perfectly adapted to eating this kind of prey, but we won't figure out what color it had unless we care about aesthetics. Why does that matter? you know, beauty is a part of evolution. It's a part of life. And it's what makes the world interesting. And the more we're aware of this, the more we'll appreciate the value of the world around us and the world where we evolved from.
David Rothenberg, professor of philosophy and music at the New Jersey Institute of Technology and author of Survival of the Beautiful, Art, Science, and Evolution. In the background, we're listening to David making music with whales. That's the subject of a previous book, Thousand Mile Song. To see some of his photos of the amazing constructions of bowerbirds, as well as some other examples of nature's mysterious aesthetic sensibility, you can go to wordofmouthradio.org.
Ha 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 ha